going to public comment. Let's see here.
I don't think we have any cards for the hearing board.
No. All right, why don't we go right to our speaker cards. Robert Almey, Kira Redman, Marla Jo Bruton, to start us off.
Mr. Chairman, I believe our cards were submitted as a group, and I'd prefer to go after the cities, if you don't mind. Would that be okay?
Okay, as a group.
Well, there were two cities ahead of me.
Let's do it that way, then.
Because the cities have a direct stake in this, and I...
Okay.
Thank you.
Do I have their cards? That's Templeton? Mr. Briggs? Rob, is it Templeton?
Yes, thanks.
Barbara Lynch, City of San Luis Obispo. Okay. And is Templeton part of what he's referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the three? All right. So, Ms. Lynch?
Thank you very much. Chairman Young and members of the board, thank you for hearing us. I know it's been a long day. My name is Barbara Lynch. I'm the Deputy Director of Public Works for the City of San Luis Obispo and speaking on behalf of the SLO Partners for Water Quality here in the county. By now, you should have received a letter from the SLO Partners.
Oh, yeah.
Great, expressing our concerns about the recent enrollment letter. At the end of last fall's meeting, when you explored the concept of a prescriptive permit with your staff, I felt that we had kind of come to an understanding that our goal was one of clean water and that spending time rewriting plans, the perfect plan, ran counter to that. We've now received an enrollment letter that without any public process or discussion with the affected agencies requires very significant changes to our stormwater plans. There are many stakeholders for these issues who deserve an opportunity to be heard, and these requirements need a public process. We're small agencies. We're ill-equipped to jump to the goals of the Phase 1 communities. I believe the best thing that you can do to improve water quality is to allow us to enroll under the general permit requirements. I would not be speaking here today if I thought the requirements in the letter were readily accomplished, but I do not believe the experience is out there for us to draw on, and until it is, it's not a good use of our limited staff time to make mistakes that we don't need to make and won't have to make if we wait for the Phase 1 communities to complete implementation. By using the state permit and keeping our region consistent with others, implementation of these advanced steps will be more doable. The reality is we are still at the starting line here. Most agencies haven't really begun the first lap of the program because of the delays in the enrollment. Since receiving the new enrollment letter, we're not even sure what to do at this point because it's such a moving target. If allowed to enroll under the current permit, I believe the majority of the San Luis Obispo County agencies can quickly produce a reasonable plan working off the approved county plan. The sharing of experience and documents is a huge benefit for us because of our small sizes. The experience of the Phase 1 communities will be equally important as we come to deal with things foreign to us, such as hydro modification plans. The City of San Luis Obispo agrees with the recommendations in the SLO Partners letter and asks the board to direct the executive officer to withdraw the new requirements, knowing that the best thing for everyone is to get us working, making progress with our communities towards water quality rather than setting us up for failure with requirements that are beyond our capabilities. I believe the City of Atascadero had to leave. They had another appointment this afternoon, but they asked that I express their support as well. Again, thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Tina Mayer, and then Rob Almey.
Yes, hello, good afternoon, board members. My comments are going to be quite brief. I represent the community of Templeton, and I just wanted to express our concerns about the February 15th letter sent to the small MS4s in our region. We also signed the SLO Partners letter that Barbara discussed, and I think she expressed our concerns very well. We're a small district. We have less than 7,000 people, and stormwater is a very small component of what we manage. The economic impact of the new requirements on this short timeline are extremely onerous for us. We are committed to creek and good water quality protection. And in 2003, we submitted a stormwater management plan that includes things like public education and outreach, as well as best management practices protecting the Templeton facilities. Please consider continuing the review of the submitted stormwater management plans under the current stormwater general permit requirements and postpone the implementation of any new requirements until the adoption of any new stormwater permit that may be underway. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Almy.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Robert Almy. I'm manager of the Santa Barbara County Water Agency. The agency was not a receipt of this letter, so we have been watching this process and working very closely with the cities in Santa Barbara County who have, I can tell you, the same concerns that you just heard. But I'd like to summarize a range of concerns that I have heard discussed about the letter and its requirements. First, as to process, a number of the cities have had heard nothing for nearly 5 years after submittal of their initial stormwater management plans, and this letter was the first thing they heard or saw or knew of any kind of requirements. There was no public process as to the details in the letter, and we think that that's very problematic. In particular, the hydro modification requirements appear to be taken from Phase 1 community plan permits or draft permits in the case of Ventura County. So they have not been demonstrated and, in fact, we believe in one case, not even required. These are requirements that are not well demonstrated in California. Indeed, you have set up an institute to promote LID and to deal with these issues. That tells us that additional work needs to be done. We urge you to step back away from this process and consult with the affected parties, and I have a number of things that I think need to be discussed. First, the way these interim standards are prescribed appear that they may bump up against the requirement, and I'm going to paraphrase this, that you can tell a permittee what needs to be done, but you can't tell them how to do it. I think that you've crossed the line here. There is clearly an unreasonable burden here for the smaller cities. These requirements go far beyond the core requirements of Attachment 4. It's going to slow the enrollment process down. You've got a lot of controversy here and agencies that simply can't deal with this financially or technically. And it appears to us that you may have raised an unfunded mandate. And in particular, the applying these requirements to redevelopment may have unintended consequences. We're concerned that existing California drainage law on developed properties establishes a right for a certain volume of water to pass from that property to adjacent properties. And as you have structured the requirements here, you may put the counties and cities in a situation where there may be potential takings claims here. And we're concerned about that. We're very concerned about increased costs to develop the meet these requirements in areas of redevelopment, and the unintended consequence may be to drive that development outside the urban areas to bare land where the development will be more easily accomplished. I think that's inconsistent with the regional board's goals. We've had these discussions with the regional board for the last five or 6 years on this particular issue. And finally, I want to point out to you that there has been research in the Seattle area that shows that rather conclusively that an area of very high density, an urban area that is paved, basically has a high percentage of impermeable surface, is actually more efficient on a paved surface on a per capita basis than most outlying areas, because the number of people per unit paved area is relatively high. And so we need to look at particularly how these requirements are imposed on redevelopment. And we suggest that indeed there should be more permeable surface as redevelopment occurs. But to go back and make the standard pre-development original soils, original vegetation makes absolutely no sense. So I think that summarizes the major concerns that I've heard from the cities, and we hope that you'll take them into account and listen to the recommendations of the cities.
Mr. Allman, let me ask you some questions and get some insight from you. You know, the board is trying to process as many swamps as we can, and in trying to do that, we had a switch in staffing, and new staff has come up with kind of a different approach to this. We're trying to cut out the multiple hearings we've had historically with some of our early swamps. So we know that the board has been concerned about some of these issues, and so we're trying to get these communities to start preparing for what the board is going to be looking for in terms of insertion in these swamps, you know, ahead of time. Do they just need more time to come up to speed with doing calculations or considering LID, or does the language need to be more flexible so that they really have the five-year period to come up with a plan to consider LID and what it would look like?
A very fair question. I hesitate to speak for the cities, but let me make some observations that I think will answer your question or will give you information. First, the state is renewing the general permit.
Right.
LID and hydro modification are in discussions. The representing entity for the permittees is CASCA. They are making a proposal to the Water Resources Control Board staff on these issues. This is being discussed, and they have technical experts on both sides that are looking at what is doable, how to treat new development, how to treat redevelopment. And those technical experts are actually going to be diverted from what they're doing, because what you're doing here is of concern to CASCA, and I believe the Water Board staff, if you ask them, that you may be getting ahead of a more orderly process that's focusing on this particular issue and will deal with hydro modification, will deal with the issues of runoff and those things. So that's information. The second information, I think you heard from the two cities that, in fact, they have a problem, a staffing problem. They're just not big enough to put their arms around the studies that are required in this letter in order to substitute requirements instead of the interim prescriptive requirements. It isn't that it's not doable. It's simply they don't have the resources to do anything but these prescriptive requirements. And the prescriptive requirements they can see on the face don't seem to be something that they can deal with at a reasonable level. And so the issue of more time, I think the more time discussions put this process in context. If you want to enroll the 26 cities, enroll them under the existing general permit. I think I heard that said. That makes sense. Most of these cities have in front of you or have prepared something that is probably pretty close to that requirement. And if you're interested in getting them enrolled quickly, then stay focused on that as your major objective. If your major objective is hydro modification, then you may have to give up the efficiency of bringing them in enrollment, because this new issue is, of course, going to take time and effort to deal with. It's going to slow the enrollment process down. It already has.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Dr. Hunter. Mr. Almey, do you have a question?
It is a comment to the statement that this letter is the first response you've had in 5 years from staff, and I'm not involved in the day-to-day operation, certainly of regional board staff, but I recall that we met at our Santa Barbara hearing, I believe just last year. Many of the same folks who wrote these letters came to us at that time commenting on the process that was underway,
and commenting on ideas, providing feedback to us at that point. And so I don't want to mischaracterize or leave folks here in the room today with the idea that you've had no response from staff for 5 years. I think this process has been very much an effort of collaboration in terms of coming to a point where cities involved had a good idea of how this process was going forward. And certainly the changes have been made, as Chair Young noted, with new people coming on and with the urgency of trying to find a more effective way to move this program forward. So, you know, just in fairness, I think 5 years is pretty harsh in saying no response.
Well, I can assure you that the cities of Carpinteria, Buellton, and Solvang have had no correspondence, no telephone calls, and they are certainly not big enough to have the staff to track the board's operations in detail. They have in some cases a public works division of one or two, and they simply don't have the ability to stay on top of what the board does, as important as it is to them.
I don't think I want to characterize it as asking all the staff of each of these little places, municipalities, to stay on top of the board, but I'm simply saying they've had the process has been underway, it's been open. The idea that we had some of these same ladies, including Jill Falcone from San Luis Obispo City, came to the Santa Barbara meeting to comment on how well the process is going. I think everyone's had the opportunity. The staffing issue is real, I understand that, but I think the process has been very open.
Sure. I should correct myself. The cities of Carpinteria, Buellton, and Solvang received no letter nor staff calls about their stormwater management plan until the letter of the 15th. That's more precise and correct. Thank you.
And, you know, Mr. Almey, my comment about these entities having swamps that are ready to go, well, we know that, and I think every time we have seen one of those, the board has just been bogged down in trying to strengthen them. So that's what we're trying to grapple with, is how to do more than just what's in the general permit, because we just think it lacks a lot of the detail and definition that we think is necessary to meet MEP in the Central Coast.
Well, my own experience is that we spent a lot of time on a wide range of issues with our permit to get it ready to go.
Right.
And we didn't even touch hydro modification and LID, which would have added to the burden.
Right.
And I can also tell you that the cities of Santa Maria, Lompoc, and Goleta were in the process of revising and perfecting their plans because of the October meeting and the knowledge that the enrollment process was going to occur. And they were far enough along that they basically now had to go back and restart the process with these new issues.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Okay, Kira Redman, Marla Jo Bouton, and Tom Murphy. Is he still here, Mr. Murphy? No? And Mark Lowe, I guess he's not here either, right? Okay. Ms. Redman?
Good afternoon, Chair, Board members. I'm Kira Redmond, Executive Director of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. I just wanted to get up here and express Channel Keeper's strong support for the new enrollment process and the new requirements laid out in your February 15th letter. The Regional Board has the right to impose additional requirements, and it is in fact appropriate and necessary that you've done so, given the high growth rates projected for the Central Coast. It comes as no surprise that municipalities are turning out to oppose the new requirements. It means things will have to change, and change quickly, and bureaucrats always resist change. But change is what our region needs, urgently. We've got major water quality problems caused by urban runoff, and business as usual has not addressed these problems. We applaud and strongly support this shift into high gear, finally, to get Central Coast municipalities moving forward on the path of controlling hydro modification, reducing pollutant loading, planning on the watershed level and incorporating LID strategies, and evaluating and being accountable for their effectiveness of their stormwater management programs. Channel Keeper strongly urges you not to back down from your February 15th letter. Central Coast municipalities need a strong regional board pushing them towards giving them guidance and pushing them towards real and proactive solutions to our most serious water quality problem. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Marla Jo Bouton, is she here? No?
Okay, she's gone. Gordon Hensley? David Dugan? Still here, okay. Gail McPherson?
Good afternoon. Gordon Hensley, San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper. I also am commenting on the February 15th letter. All of us want clean water, but there has been a level of frustration moving the whole stormwater, the whole MS4 process forward. Your frustration, our frustration, the city's frustrations. I think that the basic question that is driving the letter that came from the San Luis Obispo, from the Clean Water Partners, is, does that February 15 letter from your board actually reflect the will of this board? And I think that that is worth addressing. The root problem, as I see it from the city's perspective, is that there are budget and administrative priorities that conflict with moving ahead on this. I think that some of the frustration could be improved with increased communication between your staff and the actual decision makers. I don't know if that'd be workshops, showing up at their meetings, or whatever. But I think the actual core of the issue is, do you believe that stormwater runoff is a problem? At Coast Keeper, we believe stormwater is likely the number one water pollution issue on the Central Coast. And I urge you to support staff's recommendations as expressed in the February 15 letter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dugan.
David Dugan, Los Osos. There was a person up here earlier talking about having your meetings filmed and videotaped. And I would want to share that. It has given me plenty of cannon fodder for several shows that I've put on the air and others that have aired on public access television, the Internet, Crisis in Los Osos by Insider Edition. I put out several, one called Bias, Violation of Due Process and Environmental Injustice, as well as Assault on Los Osos and the Violation of Los Osos, and all about the Regional Water Quality Control Board and their violation of codes and the due process rights of individuals, as well as the Begley-Keene Act, and has been aired several times on television. Let's set that aside. I was speaking earlier today about water reclamation and reuse, and I really think that you should have staff find a way to include in the process for permitting wastewater projects or projects that will add to a wastewater treatment facility, that they add a reuse and recycle element to their project. And the Federal Clean Water Act asks for that. And in one section, they kind of require it before any SRF monies can be used. So you should have a recycle element, a reuse element, just because of the federal money that's involved. But state of California, in their water code, 11-plus pages, I haven't gone through all of them yet, really want this to happen. And there was two items on your agenda today that I want to speak towards, but I wasn't able to because I guess you just went lickety spit over them and passed them, whatever they were. And they all had water recycle elements in place. And That's a good thing. The state of California needs new sources of water, and recycled water is considered new sources of water. So when the county comes to you and says, well, we're ready for the Los Osos Wastewater Project, you should say, do you have a recycle reuse element for your water? Why? Because Los Osos can't afford 5 years from now to have that process take place because the cost. Let's have it do now. If we wait, we pay. They estimated $35 million for state water for Los Osos. Well, we don't have a water shortage problem. We have a potable water problem. And if we can use a reuse element, recycle element, agricultural exchange, or true exchange, that we'd be better off. Because by 2012, that cost is going to be $70 million. So I would ask that you talk to them about that. Thank you.
Mr. Dugan, the proposals that the county is considering right now for Los Osos, do those... For Los Osos?
Yes. It's for disposal only.
There's no recycling.
No recycling or reuse, and they're avoiding that. And they said at the very beginning of the process that they weren't going to get into it. And I thought that was strange because they know that we have a level 3 severity rating for our water there. We need to clean water up to use it, and it would cost us. Why spend the money bringing in the Palmer State water when we could just clean up the water we have and reuse it? And, of course, like I said, the state of California recommends you reusing water as well.
Right. Just kind of curious, Roger, about that in terms of where we fit in terms of do we just encourage water reuse, water recycling?
I mean, yeah, I we sure do. It's right on the middle of our homepage. And as far as I know, none of the proposals by the county include discharging to surface water or exporting out of the basin. So what that means is the water would stay in the basin for reuse or recharge.
They don't have a reuse or recharge element in the process.
Well, if it's not going out of the basin, then it's recharging.
Well, do you know where, Mr. Dugan, do you know where they're proposing to dispose of it?
Okay, well, they haven't decided yet. There hasn't been a project picked yet. But they are not considering any of the elements of reuse or recycle.
Okay.
That's not in any of the... maybe spray field with disposal outside of town, as well as dumping it at Broderson and then using a harvesting well to put it back into Broderson and maybe get a benefit of... I consider it's a...
Well, that would be a reuse.
No, it's
it?
Not. Because they're harvesting that water and sending it back to the plant, the Tri-W project.
I mean the Broderson side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they've also said that, you know, there is areas that they could bring that water back in as wetlands and clean it up for percolation and such what, and using less water at Broderson, and they still maintain a 10% communication between the upper and lower aquifer with that kind of water, with the way they do it there. But what they're proposing is not a recycle. In other words, not sending water that's cleaned up that we can use in purple pipe or send it to the golf courses or send it to the schools or send it to the places of use. Because the state of California states that the use of potable water for those areas is not a good use of the waters of the state of California. And they also say that community use of water, drinking water, using it, potable water, comes first. Agriculture comes second in priorities. I don't know how to state it any plainer.
No, I understand. No, the thing is we don't tell people that they have to recycle water. Usually that's driven supply and demand because they got to recapture their costs and sell it, and typically they will do that. I mean, so I think the first step is you want to get a plant built, and then you can assess what need there would be.
Well, and that determines where you put it and the footprint.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's sort of going beyond the scope to be discussing this in
detail. It's a general public comment.
Detail. Well, but it's going to be coming to the board, isn't it?
All right. Well, we were just
but I
having
think
a
you
little
have,
discussion.
I mean, you have enough
to
information.
Dugan. I don't get to talk to Mr. Dugan except, you know, at these meetings. But well, this will be continued.
The size of the footprint of the project will determine whether or not there's a reuse element.
Okay.
As well as taking other people's septic as well.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. Gail McPherson, Marilyn Morris, and Mrs. Taylor, Chris Allaby, and Bruce Payne. Okay, go ahead.
Got to get kind of organized here. Sorry.
3 minutes. Yep.
Good afternoon, Gail McPherson. I wanted to make an announcement about a couple of things that are going on. One of the greatest responsibilities, of course, of today's leaders, including you, in the wastewater and water field is to protect our multi-billion dollar investment in California's water and wastewater infrastructure. And the pressures to provide new water systems, new wastewater systems, while adequately addressing the current and future needs. The replacement cost rebuilding of a system that was put in place in the 70s is becoming increasingly difficult. And I wanted to note that in January, the governor announced his performance-based infrastructure plan. And performance-based fits hand in glove with a design build. And so Cal Poly and the Design Build Institute of America is putting on a workshop, a seminar, on Saturday, May 17th. And I have an agenda and an announcement for you. I wanted to encourage the staff of the Water Board and especially the project funding coordinators to obtain the essential tools and briefing on design build methods to support the agencies applying for project grants and loans. You may not realize it, but April meeting, the county announced that they would be pursuing design build and seeking teams to compete for the wastewater project in Los Osos. And this is not a seminar about Los Osos, but it certainly is pertinent to all the projects that will be using alternate and creative ways of delivering projects in a more timely, more cost-effective, more sustainable, more green, more performance-based, and adding things like recycling to the performance standards of a project. So with that, we are doing a mixer on Friday night at Etna Valley Winery, and we'll have top-notch people from all around the country presenting and being at that that mixer. So I wanted to invite each of you to that and give you invitations. And I'll pass those around. And also a program. And I hope that that you will support this. Design-build practitioners, public agencies, and owners all have real-world experience and can share case studies will be there, along with the legal and legislative issues. Thank you very much. Oh, I also wanted to note that this is hot off the press. It's called the Municipal Water and Wastewater Design Build Handbook from DBIA. In addition to this, with your registration, you also get DBIA membership for a year. And they're a great resource. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If the remaining speakers are not going to be speaking about the stormwater strategy.
Oh, I thought this was public comment.
Yes. I know it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If that was a partial statement.
Oh, sorry.
If, then maybe it would make sense to address that. I know we're not, it's not an agenda item as far as the stormwater strategy, but I think the folks who spoke on that are looking for some
closure.
Some response from the board, and if the others are not interested in that subject, maybe we could go ahead and provide that now.
Okay.
So that's okay with the board. First of all, we wanted to make sure that we had a strategy going forward that would get us out of kind of the endless loop that we felt like we were in with the attempting to respond to the stormwater management plan approval process. We had multiple iterations of plans. We had hearings, petitions, petition responses, and frankly, we were looking at a gazillion-year schedule at that rate. So obviously, we needed to make a change in strategy, and we also wanted to make sure that the plans coming forward would be closer to what was a main rubbing point as far as the difficulties with approval, and that was being responsive to the difficulties of the watershed and the problems of urbanization, which we want the stormwater management plans to deal with, as far as the changes to the hydrograph being one of the principal reasons for degradation of the watersheds, and that goes to the imperviousness part of it. So we want at the same time to provide flexibility, and we have demonstrated that by already adjusting the schedule when we've had discussions with individual municipalities, for example, Santa Maria and Lompoc, I believe. I don't know if there are others where we maybe Santa Cruz, right? So we've adjusted the schedule to be responsive to individual municipalities talking about their scheduling needs. We've done that already and put that in writing. We met with the group of municipalities from the south down in Bealeton. We met with the group of municipalities in the north up in Salinas. And other staff have had a meeting here locally with San Luis Obispo County. I don't know about the SLO partners. Partners, okay. And I was in two out of three of those meetings. We were open to the municipalities providing an alternative interim criteria to the hydro modification criteria that was in our letter. I know that at the two meetings I attended, the municipalities were glad to hear that and said that they would take us up on that offer, including Santa Barbara County. And as Dr. Hunter pointed out, in responding to this business about how we haven't had a public process, the February 15th letter is now going on 3 months old. It was based on two lengthy discussions we had at two board meetings where the item was noticed and we sent it out to all the municipalities and to all the counties. And the board discussed the strategy that the board wanted the staff to proceed with. And we had tables in that December agenda item that basically went right into that February 15th letter. And as Dr. Herner pointed out, many of the municipalities were represented there were there in person at the meeting. And that goes back further. We had a discussion at the October meeting where we proposed a more lengthy process. And the board said, no, we've got to make this a little tighter time-wise, and we think that's appropriate. So we think we have had a public process, but I think more importantly, that's not the end of the public process by a long shot, because what happens is now going forward, the stormwater management plans are revised, submitted, and that's all part of another public process. If you submit your stormwater management plan and we disagree with certain parts of it, that'll come to the board. You have another opportunity to lay out all your concerns and things that you don't think are reasonable in terms of the staff recommendation for perhaps changes to the stormwater management plan to the board. You have an opportunity to make your case at that time. And that schedule takes us out to, the end of 2009? So we're talking about a public process is that right, end of 2009? So we're talking about a public process that's going to go forward now through the end of 2009, the next year and a half. So I agree with Dr. Hunter in terms of the public process that we've provided and that we are going to be providing going forward. As far as overstepping the bounds.
When does the state board renew its phase two permit? When's that going to happen?
Actually, I think that's indeterminate at this point. The phase two permit.
The state water board's phase two general permit.
Yeah, they're taking that up right now for consideration.
Any anticipated completion date?
I do not anticipate.
Okay. I don't think they have it scheduled for state board workshop, so that's why I say it's indeterminate at this point.
Yeah, the state board hasn't seen it yet. The staff has picked it up, but okay. There haven't been any public workshops yet, to
my
knowledge.
You heard about the AB 885 regs, and they've been, at staff level for a long time. We don't know how long that's going to take. However, as you three board members down here, when you went down to San Diego, Mr. Jeffries, you were talking about the stormwater aspect of that discussion, and the impression that we have is that there's, looking at it statewide, where we had all the regions and the state board attending that workshop on April 22nd, it seemed that there was broad agreement that we need to have quantifiable measures as opposed to narrative. So that gets to the numeric criteria that we included in our letter. And if you don't like that numeric criteria, tell us what's better. And that low-impact development is an essential component to addressing post-construction stormwater management. And thirdly, that the factor of imperviousness is an extremely essential parameter to address. So that's on a statewide basis. That's not just us ginning something up. So and others, as far as the numeric criteria, others are using the criteria. We didn't just pull those out of the air. For example, the effective impervious area, 5%, is already in use in Ventura County, which is a part of our region. And the other figures have been culled from others who are using that criteria. So to say that it's that we have to wait for everything to be nailed down on, you know, a statewide or national level or something, I think we'd be waiting forever. We do recognize that whatever we come up with, it's going to be a dynamic process, and they're probably going to have to be, I'm sure there'll be changes and improvements as we go down the road. But that's not a reason to say we can't proceed now with having hydro modification controls in place. And I don't think it's fair that the regional board put its money where its mouth is by saying we also want to provide assistance by developing a low-impact development center, and then turn around and use that as an argument against us for why, and say that that demonstrates that we need a lot more research or something. So I don't think that's a fair criticism. So I hope that provides a little context of where we are with that strategy. Like I said, we've met with the folks, and we've been open to schedule changes, and we've been open to alternative numerics that they propose.
When do the permits for the SLO County partners come up? When do they schedule their phase two permits?
Well, understand that SLO County already has an approved stormwater management program.
The partners, the ones that are signatory.
We have City of San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, right. Templeton.
Here's the schedule.
Cities of Morro Bay and Rio Grande and Grover Beach. We're going to start their enrollment cycle this summer and wrap it up late this next winter and early spring of 2009.
So less than a year from now is when we'd have possible hearings.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any board questions, Mr. Hodgins?
Well, I was pushing to get some of these swamps actually done. It seemed to me we had a big backlog that had been there for a long time, and it was, in my mind, desirable to get swamps in place and people complying with that. Mr. Briggs, I think you've answered it partially, but can you amplify on the concern expressed that people had prepared their swamps, submitted them for some time, and the February 15th letter added requirements which forced them to go back and now have to redo all the work that they've done?
Well, it's not a matter of redoing all the work that they've done. Most of the rub is in one section, which is the post-construction management measure. And as far as the other sections, we as we discussed with the board and the strategy, one of the things we want to make sure that they are including is what are the specific water quality problems, for example, the impaired water bodies within their jurisdictions that could be affected by urban runoff. And so we didn't want to have a situation where a swamp comes forward and the board can't tell what management measures are actually targeting those impairments. That was one of the problems we had with previous attempts to get through the stormwater management plans. So that was something we discussed that needs to be checked to make sure it's already in the stormwater management plan. Hopefully it is. If not, that needs to be changed. And then with the bigger rub, I guess, is with the hydro modification. And while the board has been pushing for low impact development, the problem we had is without any numeric criteria, we had the municipalities saying, we're doing it. We had other folks, including the board, saying, I don't see how we can actually verify that you're implementing low-impact development. That's where we need to have some numerics to say what that MEP, that maximum extent practicable, really means. And so the answer is yes, it requires them to include those numerics to back up their assertions that they are on board with a low-impact development, hydro modification controls.
Do you have a sense for how much extra work is involved? For I'm concerned about these cities that have a one- or two-person public works department that supposedly would be working on this. Are we asking them to do something that's unreasonable to do and still fit into our timeline?
Well, again, when we met with individual groups, we said we were open to discussing changes in schedules to accommodate individual situations, and in fact, we've already changed, I think it's three schedules based on individual conversations. And yes, the folks who most of them, you know, everybody's stretched thin as far as public works and that sort of thing goes, so in some cases it'll be difficult. For those who feel that they have stormwater management plans that already are adequate, they're certainly able to say we think we've done the job and here it is. I don't think that's going to be the case in terms of numerics. So we provided those numerics and said this is what we expect to see, and unless you provide some alternative numbers. Now, there are alternative values that are already available. It's not like everybody has to go out and reinvent the wheel. Like I said, the numbers we got were actually from other sources of people who are implementing low-impact development and hydro modification requirements. So it's not like they have to do a research project to develop new numbers. They could take a look at some other sources and say, I think this will work better for us, and choose those numbers. In some cases, for example, Santa Barbara County said they wanted to base it on some model that they use for runoff. If they have that available, then that's fine, but that's going to vary from municipality to municipality. So each case is going to be different, and we certainly recognize, especially for the smaller organizations, a lot of times they're, you know, one- or two-person shops in public works, and it will be difficult, but we'd like to talk with them individually about that, about what's doable.
It sounds like some good guidance for them would be to use the standards that are already available rather than trying to create something new, or to take something out of somebody else's document that will fit for their community,
right,
rather than having to try and create it themselves.
Yeah. Either of you have something to add to that, Lisa or Matt or Michael?
Wanted to add something. I'm the section manager. I'm an environmental program manager overseeing stormwater, which Matt actually leads the section in the program. But I just wanted to add to what Roger's saying, and to help answer your question a little bit further, is we've already assessed that the communities that have successfully developed their own hydro modification controls, that it's taken approximately from a year to 18 months. And then in contracting out and modeling and technical work, it's cost them about $150,000. That doesn't include operating costs or staffing that municipalities still have to deal with in implementing them, their own internal training, and then how to apply it and do outreach. And we've funded the Low Impact Development Center, which will be available to the municipalities to provide them directly with some of that technical assistance. And we have Prop 84 about to, within this calendar year, start to request proposals from municipalities to fund improving their stormwater management programs, and opportunities to get some of that funding to layer onto this and to help them comply.
And that latter point was something that we went over in our meetings north and south, in terms of making sure that we weren't coming up with schedules that would prohibit them from being eligible for those grant monies.
Right. Can I add one other thing? It's not answering David Hodgins' question, but I just wanted to add a little perspective about the conversations with SLO partners. Those municipalities proactively asked us to come and talk to them about the requirements right out the gate. And that was no surprise to us because we understand that some of those municipalities in Slough County appear to be progressive in their interest in managing stormwater and promoting LID. And staff did go and speak with them. At that time, we hadn't had as much evolution of thinking as we've had in these subsequent conversations that Roger mentioned that he attended with the North and South folks in talking about what about timing, what about alternatives, what can these other municipalities do. And I have talked to some of the individuals at Slough County about that reality in the last couple of weeks, but not necessarily with all the partners, so I just wanted to offer that.
Okay. Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to this discussion. There was a comment made about the sense that this is, you know, a process that in some ways is a moving target. I think what we've seen in the first few small programs coming forward, that's where the moving target was very frustrating for everybody, including board members and folks who went through several iterations trying to get their stormwater management plan into compliance. I'm hoping that the process that's been put into place at this point is going to eliminate that kind of repetitive review, comment, and that we actually are coming to a place where we have good input from you as well as more clarity on our end, and that you're not going to see these change with every iteration and from one plan to the next. So hopefully there's some consistency that's going to start to be something you can have confidence in.
Okay. Any other board comments on this particular item? I'm in favor myself of keeping this process moving forward. These requirements that were put into that letter essentially address the one component of the six factors in these permits, now the post-construction details, and I think that these municipalities are going to have to do the best that they can within the time that has been allotted to this, and we'll take a look at it, you know, when it gets to staff and then it comes up to the board level. But I think that there's enough information available out there that they don't have to recreate something, but can use what's been created already. And I would encourage them to do that. Anyway, shall we continue with the rest of our speakers? Okay.
Right.
Back to Marilyn Morris. Okay. And then Mrs. Taylor. And then Mr. Allaby. And then Mr. Payne. And then Mrs. DeWitt Moylan. Okay.
Okay, thank you. My name is Marilyn Morris from Arroyo Grande. I am a member of the Oak Park Community Group and here today to talk to number 18, which I was told would not be heard until after 10 o'clock. Sorry, they told me to come and do it at public comment. This would be the PXP exploration.
Okay. I recall that being brought to my attention. Go ahead.
Okay. We were informed of this very late. It hit PISMO City Council on Tuesday. It hit the Planning Commission on Thursday, and here it is today, Thursday. What a fast track that this development is on. Our concern is that the PXP is going to drill the water out of our aquifers and provide it indirectly to development for the city of Pismo Beach's new development, the Price Canyon Development Project. If you haven't looked at this in regards to water, you might want to look at it whenever water is talked about in the Price Canyon area and in Edna Valley, as well as where we live off the Oak Park, in the Oak Park Canyon, as well as Carpenter Canyon. It says in here, in their project, that the water supply will, in the case of groundwater supplies, whether taken from available wells from the PXP operation, these resources are unique to the Price Canyon. Shows here that they are going to be using the reuse of produced water from the PXP oil field. I'm sure that was not part of what you were to look at today. However, that is where this project is going. What we see is our aquifer being pumped by PXP to resell to the city of Pismo for recleaning and use for future developments. We're really concerned about this. We will be appealing it at the county level. They weren't even able to show what rate. I think it's a one. I don't know what the measure is that the state requires for the pollution that comes out of that that will come out of that plant. But in any case, they said that they could only get it to a local lab to a 5, and the state requirements is a 1. I would have to defer, and I will, to an email to you about what those numbers are. Commissioner Christie did try to get comment on that from them, or clarification, but was unable to, only that a lab could not look at the measures less than 5. So really concerned about that. Here's an article I'd like to pass on. There are some points in it that do talk about this, and it is plans to use aquifers and reservoir and local contracts. Production wells are just the beginning. What we're concerned there is that the water's being injected back into the wells or being banked by the city of Pismo back into our aquifer, and we are on well water, will not be cleaned the same as if they were taking it out and using it for municipal use. So we're worried that the water is going to be injected back into the well or the aquifer being used as their bank, and then us drawing our well water out of it and reusing it. Basically, we will be using their toilet water for our potable water. So this is a concern to us. I didn't want this commission to be duped or deceived about what the plans are, and we feel that they are the development. Yeah. And the PXP are in plans for development.
Mrs. Morse, you didn't submit a letter to us or anything?
We just heard about this. A matter of fact, it went to the city of Pismo only as a request from a resident. And she heard that it was coming to the county. And she called up the city council members and said, why isn't this being heard? Why isn't there public input? Why isn't this going to the planning commission? And all of a sudden, a council person put it on the agenda for Tuesday. It was only up for discussion, no action, and poof, it was at the county.
At this point in time, this was on our consent calendar, and so the board went ahead and approved the issuance of this permit. It's already happened.
Today?
Yes.
That happened this morning.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is fast-tracked all in 1 week.
No, it was this morning, but
it was on the consent. But when I called this morning and asked, they said it was item number 18. It'll be heard after 10 because we had, I guess it would be your number 8 that took up so much time. So I got down here as fast as I could.
Yeah.
And a lot of people had already left because they heard it was already on the consent agenda and it had already been voted on.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Bricks.
As far as... Ms. Morris, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Ms. Morris's concerns about reinjection and that sort of thing, this doesn't actually address that. This is strictly for their proposed discharge to Pismo Creek.
For the purpose of oil.
Well, the water comes from produced water from oil operations.
Right, but I just wanted you to be aware that the plans down the road are for the water to be reused.
We're not addressing that, though, here with this. We did not address that with this permit. It's strictly for the discharge requirements to make sure that the water that they discharge is clean and is protective of Pismo Creek.
Well, I'm sure there's more water over their property than there is oil. And anyway, I just wanted you to know that the developers are where they're leading you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Mrs. Taylor?
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. I'm also a resident of the Prohibition Zone. This board is not being well served by your staff in noticing. There was only one public notice in a county circulated paper regarding the Basin Plan hearing today. That is not serving this board well in noticing. To presume that noticing public entities, meaning the county, public works departments, and those entities, is going to get out to the public at large is ludicrous. We need to be noticed not through the media of the electronic perception, but through newspapers that a notice, not once, but at least a week prior to a major hearing such as the Basin Plan this afternoon. The other thing that I would like to discuss, in which Mr. Dugan brought up, is water, the water in Los Osos. Since 1978, the county of San Luis Obispo has known that we have salt water intrusion in our wells. I have stood up before the board throughout the years asking them to address this subject. You are our only hope to help us preserve what water we have. We have well water. We have three purveyors of that well water. They are all private except for one, which is our CSD. We need help in protecting our available water so that we do not turn on the faucet and find brine. Please check into this, see where we are going, since the county does not seem to be taking an active part in protecting our water. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mrs. Taylor. Mr. Briggs, out of curiosity, I think we've all heard about saltwater intrusion in Los Osos, but is that, what's that?
I think
it's a state water board issue. Is it a state water board issue, or is it?
Well,
I mean, it's a
water quality.
It's an impact to a beneficial use.
It's a water quality issue as well.
Right.
I think what Mr. Shawcross was referring to is when the problem is overdrafting, then mm-hmm. it's a water rights issue. However, we certainly try to influence local entities, land users, to make the right decisions to minimize the problems or to solve the problem. So, for example, with the worst seawater intrusion problem that we have in the Salinas Valley, we worked on the water reclamation, water recycling project, which is now in place, and I think solved maybe 40% of the problem, or a substantial amount of the problem. We were just talking earlier this afternoon about the potential for huge increases in irrigation efficiency for crops in the irrigated lands of our region, and that could be huge in terms of solving the seawater intrusion problem, where overdrafting is the source of the problem. So we do work on the issue. We don't have the legal authority in terms of actual water withdrawals, but we certainly work on the issue in terms of a watershed approach to water resources.
It's now, and it's been going on since 1978. Why has it not been addressed? The county knows about it. The county put out the report in 1978. We need help. How many years between 1978 and now? We need help now.
Do the problem, Mrs. Taylor, is that, you know, and I don't know if you picked up on this, it's a water supply.
I'm aware of that.
Problem. So, and we don't regulate water supply.
But you do protect our water.
We do, but we have limits on how far we can go when the problem being caused is from water supply.
Can you not address it to the water purveyors, who is Golden State?
Well, the problem is we don't regulate the water purveyors. Our agency doesn't. The State Water Board does in Sacramento. They're the ones that regulate water supply. It's complicated. I mean, it's not an easy thing, and I can appreciate how you feel about it, and it's right here in your backyard, and it's an impact of water quality, and just like with the Carmel River,
mm-hmm.
we have a problem with the Carmel River, also with
overdrafting
of the Carmel River up north. And they're pulling, the water purveyor has violated its permit and is taking more water out of that river, and it's impacting fish. We've written letters to the state board. In fact, the state board held a hearing recently to look at how to solve that problem.
And then, Mr. Chairman, as far as getting back to Los Osos, of course, as you know, we've been working on this for a long time. Been a lot of different alternatives evaluated, and each and every turn at looking at alternatives, one of the basic tenants, no matter who it was it the county or the CSD, but one of the basic tenants was that we need to keep the water in the basin for the very issues that you're talking about, as opposed to discharging to the estuary, discharging to the ocean, exporting water out of the basin for some other use. So that's always been a basic tenet because of the realization that there's not enough water otherwise.
I think Mr. Dugan laid it out quite plain, though, that this is not in the county's plan for the sewers, the wastewater system, to re-evaluate and reuse our water that is in the wastewater system. He brought it out.
Right.
Listen.
Right, and we'll be commenting on the county's project development as it goes along, for example, through the EIR process. So we'll be taking a look at that from the water resources standpoint.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Taylor. Mr. Allaby, and then Mr. Payne, and Mrs. DeWitt Moylan, and Mr. Moylan, and that will finish the cards that I have. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chris Allaby, CDO number 1019. I'm going to pick up where I left off this morning. Let's see. A total of 46 citizens were selected for CDOs, and we are basically being held hostage until 2011, at which time we will lose the use of our homes in the prohibition zone. I have about 20 pounds of news clippings, et cetera, explaining all this, plus other shady deals and miscellaneous shenanigans by our public servants in the past. We have a TAC committee with a technical advisory committee with no big name wastewater experts as members, although two volunteered, I understand. Our public works head has no experience in retroactive wastewater projects. That's projects with the infrastructure already in place. And we're having a problem with our water purveyors who, quote, don't like to give out information, whatever that's all about. And the previous CSD board spent our present board into bankruptcy. Anyway, this is just the tip of the iceberg, and it is very hard for me to look at this mess and not get boiling mad. This will be lost house number 4 for our extended family since 1914. I will let others explain the science and construction details of this project. This project will be a financial catastrophe unless we get help from the feds of the state, similar to what we would get for a highway or other public work, or maybe a county property tax rebate is appropriate. County allowed the building permits, putting us in overdraft. They should kick in on the project also. Millions of dollars have been wasted on surveys, false starts, and bankruptcy. We could have gotten a wastewater system with the money spent up to now. Lots of raised eyebrows if a cheap system is approved, costing less than the money already wasted. I'm amazed like anything like this could happen in this country. Getting to your two-minute thing. It takes me a long time to fire up a thing like this, and I like to come here and have enough time to say it all. Some outfits do. They line the speakers up, 3 minute, 2 minute, 1 minute, for the people that want to speak fast and leave, and the line goes a lot faster. Okay. Anything or any project we get with a motor or a human being involved will be expensive. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Payne?
Yeah, what he was saying was that people that only need 1 minute speak first, people 2 minutes. Okay, anyway, I got bad news for you. I understand the clothing district just passed a resolution that you can't buy clothes any bigger than 29-inch waist anymore. So that's it. Do what you can with it. You know, every pumping every 5 years, I wasted my breath for 3 minutes here and got permission from the author of the septic tank management owner's maintenance book for septic tanks to do that picture. I don't guess it got passed around. And, it doesn't matter. I wore black today, totally. I'm in mourning because I knew you'd pass that thing. It said the staff recommend passing and approving the resolution. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I would say probably there's nobody so dumb that... No, how is it? It doesn't matter. My wife asked. Oh, talk about the financing for the videos here. My wife asked for public record request to know how much money's been spent on the illegal prosecution so far, and the letter she got back is that we don't keep track of those things. I'm pretty sure when she writes to the Attorney General's office, they'll be able to tell us how much it costs to send their man down to help Harvey Packard at every hearing we have with the Pizzeldorf lawsuit. And what else? The nitrate problem. The gentleman with the plastic irrigation problems, people were burning that stuff. And now they don't burn it except when it's foggy. You know, We got three big stacks at Morro Bay that put out soot you wouldn't believe. That's NO3 NOx nitric oxide, which is soot. It floats. It's readily soluble, and it lands on the top of the hills as it cools first, and then washes down into the water tables. They tell me now that the only thing that blows out of there is steam, and I keep bees at a place over on Choro Creek, and the people tell me there, well, yeah, they don't blow soot out of it now except when it's foggy. So there's your problem. The soot coming down, you know, Wickham told you about that, and the staff said, oh, all that blows up the canyon there down Highway 1, and it does, except for sometimes. I've had soot balls land on I take doors off and lay them flat on sawhorses to paint them. I don't get runs that way. And it was a white bathroom door. And I got up the next morning and it had soot balls the size of match heads on it. So I know it does come to Los Osos occasionally. And these are things that are shot down that you should listen to and learn. You have a member that told you his septic tank hadn't been pumped for 12 years and it probably didn't need pumped for another 8 years. We have people that bought houses 20 years ago that sold them. First time they've been pumped is when they were sold, and they didn't really need to be pumped then. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Payne.
I hope you heard something I said today.
Mrs. DeWitt-Moylan.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is R3-2006-1041. And I'd like to direct your attention to your water code, Section 1, Fair, Firm, and Consistent Regulation and Enforcement. And just quote from the last sentence of the first paragraph. Whenever the circumstances of a discharge are similar, the provisions of the enforceable orders should be comparable. And it seems to me that if you created a prohibition zone, then what you're saying is that the circumstances of the discharge are pretty similar if all of those houses are quartered in the same zone. And yet it was your determination to pull 46 of those 5,000 homes for enforcement, which so far has had no effect on water quality, and it's been 2.5 years since this was begun. There has to be some way for you to consider that this isn't fair, enforcement, that you are not treating people equally. They're not similar. A notice of violation is not the same as a cease and desist order. I can tell you that. My neighbors have notices of violation. Their lives are quite different from mine. I would also like to say that if you had given everyone a notice of violation, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of whatever you have spent in prosecuting my husband and me and the other CDO and CAO recipients would be available for televising these hearings and meetings. There wouldn't be any problem for that. You've spent so much money on such a useless project. Nothing has come of it except a lot of lives that have been severely impacted. I would also like to say that I was impressed by staff's toxicity report in agriculture and how they referenced progressive enforcement. And I thought about the kind of enforcement that we received and how wonderful it was that you were willing to afford that to ag business, but not willing to afford progressive enforcement to citizens. We were just hit with a cease and desist order. We had no opportunity for any other lighter enforcement. We did not get a notice of violation. That was Section D. And in Section F, on environmental justice, it states, the state and regional board shall promote enforcement of all health and environmental statutes within their jurisdiction in a manner that ensures the fair treatment of people of all races, etc. It was very obvious to me that your staff is really clear that environmental justice to them means something about the environment, being fair to the environment, but the human impact is completely omitted and ignored. And I really appreciated Dr. Hunter's reference to that and asking staff to look at that. And I know I'm over my time, but I also wanted to say how much I appreciate Mr. Hodgins' presence here and his sense of rationality and common sense and reference to using science. It's the first time I have heard that since I have been here in 2.5 years. And Mr. Hodgins, I dearly appreciate your presence on board. Thank you. And
thank
same
you for
to
your
you,
comments.
Ms. Hunter.
Mr. Moylan?
My name is Bill Moylan. I live in the Prohibition Zone. My wife just spoke, and I love her dearly. And I've had to live with a lot of heartache over the past 2.5 years. And I'm not trying to play victim here because I don't like to play victim and I don't consider myself a victim. However, let me start out on a positive note. I want to acknowledge that the board has a very important job to do and it has a huge, enormous job to do and its scope and complexity. And I appreciate that. I know you have a job to do, and that's to keep the waters of the state clean. On a different note, I think that you haven't been fair to several of the citizens of Los Osos 46, just like my wife said earlier about the similar fair, firm, and consistent application of enforcements. You have not done that, and you know you haven't. What you have accomplished, though, is you have managed to get a positive 218 vote, which you were desperately seeking. And then you said you were going to consider doing something other than enforcing the others. Well, that's good. But if you're going to treat us fairly, what you really need to do is look into your hearts and issue us notice of violations and rescind the CDOs. That would be a great burden taken off of our shoulders. You've got your 218. The county's working on the project. I fully expect them to complete it. I know I've gotten angry in the past, and I think you can probably empathize with that. And one of the reasons I have gotten angry is because we have been singled out from the rest of the community. It's not fun to be considered a pariah in your community or to be considered less fortunate than the others who just received notice of violations. I mean, a lot of people got those and they just went, oh, wow, whew, I didn't get a CDO and I really sympathize with you guys. Well, I get tired of hearing that. And I would like to be on equal footing with the rest of my citizens, because according to you, Mr. Briggs, Mr. Young, and the prosecution staff, we all contribute equally to the so-called degradation of the aquifer. So treat us equally. It's your obligation, and it's your requirement according to the water code. Enforce it. Either give everyone CDOs or CAOs, we'd all be on the same footing, or give us NOVs and take back our CDOs. That would be fair, firm, and consistent. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Moreland. Last speaker is Lawson Schaller.
Good afternoon again, Lawson Schaller, Los Osos. Just want to briefly express some compassion for the previous speakers, and I think they're making some valid points. I'm going to change subjects. Some earlier speakers, who I don't really want to contradict because I'm not an expert and I don't understand all the complexities of the Los Osos waste water project, but Mr. Dugan had talked about no reuse. There is discussion of purple pipe, some consideration to some degree, I believe. I don't want to minimize his point. I would really love to see you guys push for reuse and conservation. That's huge, huge. So I just say, once you get the wrong impression, that, at least in my opinion, I don't think the county is, it's on their radar screen, in my opinion.
It is or it isn't?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but... and there's been a lot of public comment made at county, so it's they're getting the message, and I hope you're getting it, because we really need that. Also, in regard to the seawater mitigation, Ms. Taylor making an excellent point, huge concern. Also, again, not to contradict her, because I'm not an expert, but the county, I believe, has put out some reports about seawater mitigation. They've got different levels, different things we can do, and how much it'll cost to keep that seawater intrusion back. But she's making an excellent point. It's been a problem for a long time. We need help. So I certainly don't want to minimize that, but I don't want to have you guys at the end of the day have the impression that that is also not on the county's radar, because I think they're doing a good job. They're not perfect. They've got limited resources, but they're moving forward, and then they're considering some things. As far as the seawater intrusion, you'd pointed out that with the purveyors, that's out of your bounds. I don't know if it's possible. Maybe you already have written a letter to, I'll just say, persuade them to, or have them give strong consideration to things they can do. And I know they're making changes now. There's an interlocutory agreement. But anything you can do to encourage them, that would be fantastic. And if you have any recommendations, I believe in the citizens taking some responsibilities. Speaking for myself personally, I'd be happy to write a letter. You talked, I believe, Mr. Briggs, about the state board having some powers in that regard. But if there's anything we can do to start sending letters, emails, making some phone calls to try to get some action, because Ms. Taylor made an excellent point. It's been a long time, and I think a lot of people feel kind of like we've been left out. So I guess what can we do to maybe try to shoot some energy into the process and, for lack of a better term, maybe, you know, rattle some cages in Sacramento or wherever. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. That concludes public comment. We can move backwards to the EO report. What's that?